Well, thank you all so much for being here to celebrate such a special day with us. Really, the greatest day in the history of mankind is the resurrection of our Lord. The greatest event to ever take place is that he rose from the dead. And so we get to celebrate that together, and we love you very much, and everyone at home, we love you very much. Thank you so much for being with us, and even though you're not here in person, we know that you're with us here in spirit, so God bless you, and thank you for being here. Again, my name is Nathan Shrimp, and Pastor Nate, if you'd like to say that, or just Nate, and Pastor Gary, we're the two pastors here at Christ Street, and it's such an honor to get to teach you the word this morning. God's word is good. It is good, and it is good for us. So, I don't know how many of you know much of my story. I'm the youngest of three siblings. I have two older sisters, Amanda and Natalie, and one sister lives out of state. The other sister is here in state, but she had surgery, and she is recovering, and we're praying for her because it was a pretty serious thing that she had to go through. So, we miss her, but hopefully she's watching from home, sis, so love you. But being the youngest, I was an annoying little brother, and this morning is not a morning for me to share all. Yeah, my son knows. He knows what that's like. I was an annoying little brother, and I'm not going to talk about all those stories this morning. But I'm going to tell you that my sisters, they got married and had kids before I did, okay, because I was younger than them. So I was able to watch them go through that process, and I was able to hang out with my niece and my nephew before my kids were born. They're both here, actually. Mike is the one that was playing drums. He's my nephew. And my niece Alex is here, and she helps out with the kids. And so I'm honored that they both get to be here in church with me, and I love them. And I got to spend that time with them. And I had a connection with them when they were very little. But the connection I had with my niece and nephew was nothing like the connection they had with their mom and dad. And even as much as my sisters would try to tell me about that love that they had for their child and the connection that they had with their child, words couldn't describe it. As much as they would try, I just didn't understand until we had Vivi, my oldest daughter, and I held her for the first time. And I saw her be born, and I just will remember that feeling. And then Isaac came along, and then Danny came along, and then Annabelle came along. Yeah. And then we lost one in the midst of all that as well. We lost a child. But here's the thing. I understood that connection when we had our children. I mean, I had heard about it. And words, yeah, I mean, someone could try to tell you what it's like. But until you have your child that you're holding, whether you adopt a child or whether you have a child, when that child is yours and you're responsible for this person, this human, you are responsible for. And you have this connection with. There's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like it in the world. And that makes me think about today and the resurrection. We can talk about it all we want to, but there is a difference between hearing about something and experiencing something. We're going to tell you, if you don't believe in Jesus, we're going to tell you stories, and we're going to read a story from the Gospels about how Jesus was, you know, he was risen, right? And we're going to explain what they went through and feelings, but until you experience it, you'll never understand the resurrection. You can't. Just like I couldn't understand the connection a parent has with their child until we had children. So go with me to Luke 24, 1 through 8. Let's read about the first people to experience the resurrection. It was these women. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, yes. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Now, kids, you guys have notes as well. There's coloring sheets in yours. I don't know if you got those or not, but if you have them, they're in there. And it has two women standing at the tomb, and it's open, and there's a man standing next to them, and he's supposed to be an angel. And you can color that in as I talk about this, about these women experiencing the resurrection for the first time. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped to consider what these women must have been feeling. They were probably sleep-deprived, because if you've ever lost somebody in your life, you can't just go to sleep and everything's normal. It's in your on your heart and in your mind. And not only that, they witnessed one of the worst deaths you can witness. I mean, they watched Jesus be crucified and beaten and just hanging there. This man they loved and spent every day with. Think what that would do to your mind and your heart. So here's these women going through the last couple days of just mourning and so upset, and they don't know what to do with themselves, so they go to the tomb. They go to be with the one that they've been with for the last 3 years, and they just want to be with him. They know he's dead, but they want to be with him. So they take these spices down, but to their amazement, when they get to the tomb, it's open, and he's not there. And then this angel says, he's risen. He's risen. He's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? I can't imagine all the feelings and everything that's going on inside of those women. I can't imagine it. I would have had to have been there and experience it to understand. But they did their best. They're told, go tell the disciples. Go tell them. Go tell them what you experienced right now. Go. Go say it. Okay. So these women have this task of going to have to go explain to these men, he's gone and he's risen and there's an angel. And so you could imagine there all these thoughts going through their mind. Okay, go to the next section. Or before we go there, let me ask you this question, because I think that's a good point that I was thinking of there. So how can we express with our words this experience? Each of us in this room have either chosen or not chosen to follow Jesus in our life. We've all made that decision right now. Some of us have chosen to follow him and some haven't, which means some of us have experienced the resurrection of Jesus in our life. We've experienced it. We know what it's like to go from being dead to living in our spirit. We know what that's like. How do we explain that to someone? How do we express it in words? Well, this is what my life was like before, and now I have peace, and I have joy, and all these things, and we're just talking to people, and they're sitting there listening to us like, okay, well, that's great for you. That's good. But there's something missing. There's a disconnect with that person because they haven't experienced it. And I'm thinking of these women, and they have this amazing experience where they go down there, and the angel's there, and his body's gone, and now they have to explain it, and there's going to be a disconnect. We're going to see that. So now go with me to Luke. Let's go back to the scripture. We're in verse 10. So 24:10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Isn't that what happens to us, you guys? When you tell someone about Jesus, and you're like, man, this is what he's done in my life, and he's amazing. Listen, you gotta come check it out with me. And they're like, that's nonsense. That's nonsense, dude. I'm sorry. That's nonsense. Okay? So what does Peter do? Verse 12. Peter, however, got up and ran down to the tomb. And bending over, he saw strips of linen lying there by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself, what happened? I love Peter, his reaction, because their words seem like nonsense. So he's like, I'm going to go check this out. Here's what I'm thinking, you guys, for this morning. These women could not make them believe. No matter what these women said, however many words, they could have told the disciples for the next however many days, this is what happened. Let me tell you detail for detail. In fact, I'm going to lay it out for you step by step, exactly how it's possible and how it happened and what we understand about it. They could have laid all of that out, and the disciples still would have said, that's nonsense. Until they went and saw for themselves and experienced the resurrection for themselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is my question to you guys. This is the most important question anybody will ever ask you in your life. Have you experienced the miracle of Easter? Have you experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life? Words can't describe it. Your friends can't describe it to you. I can't describe it to you. I can try. We can tell you about the joy that we feel, the peace that we have, the hope in eternity with Christ and with God forever. We can tell you all about it. But until you experience it, you just won't get it. And it'll just be nonsense to you, as it was to me, until I accepted it. So here's what I want to say this morning to you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't repented from the sin and recognized that you're a sinner, it was our sin that put him on the cross. It just was. I know that might be hard for you to understand, but from the beginning of mankind, Adam and Eve, until now, there has been sin that has separated us from God. All that means is your imperfections, and we can all admit that we are not perfect. Any disobedience to God, any small, tiny, even Jesus said, even if you have a thought that is disobedient to God, then you have committed those sins. If you've hated somebody, you've murdered them, according to Jesus. That's a high bar, guys. Nobody can clear that bar. So if you recognize that you're a sinner, and you want to accept Jesus to save you from that sin, then you can do that. And he will. That's the beauty of our Savior. He doesn't care where you come from, what you've done. He loves you just like that, just like you are. He does, right where you're at. And then he's going to call you into a life that you can't even begin to imagine. It's the most beautiful thing. So I would challenge you, stop just listening to the stories. Stop just coming to church and listening to stories or talking to your friends who are believers in Christ and listening to their stories. Stop just listening and run down to the tomb and experience it for yourself. Experience the resurrection of Christ for yourself by giving your life to Jesus. It's time. It's time. I'm thinking that there are some of you who God has been calling for a long time, and you keep putting it off because you think that life here on this earth is everything there is and everything there's going to be. But I'm telling you, you're wrong. You are an eternal being. Your soul will live forever. You were made in the image of God, and your God who created you wants you to come back to him. And he made the way through Jesus. So if that's you, if you want to call out to Jesus, he will answer and he will save. It's a promise. And I want to pray that right now with each of you. I don't know who in here needs to hear that and who in here needs to pray that, but I believe God is calling somebody, some people right now to do that. And if that's you, then I want you to pray with me. And you could pray out loud. Say the words out loud. God sees your thoughts. He knows. You don't have to say them out loud, but you can. If you're tired of your life the way it is and you're ready to accept Jesus, then let's do it. Let's do it. So pray with me. If you wouldn't mind, pray with me. And you can repeat after me. I'll pray the words and you can repeat them. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I have not lived a perfect life. I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came from heaven and you came to earth and you suffered and you died, but you rose again, paying the penalty for my sin. And I believe that anybody who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. I call on your name. Jesus, save me. Take my life and make it yours. Amen. Amen. If you called out to Jesus for the first time or for the second time or third time, just understand that a miracle has happened. The miracle of Easter has happened right inside of you. You were dead, and now you've been raised to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. How does that work? I don't know, and I don't care. I just know it works. Just like I don't know how Jesus came back from the dead and rose again. I don't care how he did it. He did it because he's God, and he can do the same thing for me. Amen? If you've done that, I'm going to ask you that you can, at some point, talk to me. Talk to Pastor Gary. Let somebody you know hear that you accepted the Lord. And then I would invite you, either come to church, this church, or go to your local church, wherever you live, or wherever church you go, find a community who's going to help you grow in your faith, because that's what you need. You need to be discipled now in Christ. There's a life waiting for you can't even imagine. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God.